Testing.
All right. The following interview was conducted with Martha Pillow on behalf of the Southwest Virginia LGBTQ Oral History Project and Oral History Initiative. It took place on February 22nd, 2017 at Fintel Library at Roanoke College. The interviewer is Avery Kirkendall. So how about we start off with you stating your name and where you grew up?
Okay, I'm Martha Pillow. I grew up around Virginia. We moved every 2 years when I was a kid. Always in Virginia, but just different places. I kind of remember where I was when, by where, how old I was, by where I lived. But anyway, yeah.
What can you tell me about your parents? Like, what kind of work they did?
My father was an electrical engineer for Appalachian Power Company. That's why we moved every 2 years, because in the 50s and 60s, and they promoted people and moved them around to promote them. That's why we moved every 2 years. My father grew up around Roanoke. My mother was from, is, her parents are from Italy. She's Italian. She was Italian. But anyway, she worked before she, when she met my father. She was like a, I don't know what she did, but secretarial type work. That's generally what women did back then when my mother was growing up. When I was in high school, we were living in Lynchburg, and she wanted to go back to work and went to Phillips Business College and picked up some skills and went to work for Grand Furnishing. It was Grand Piano back then. But anyway, she went to work for them and eventually became their credit manager and loved it. But anyway, that was my parents.
Do you have any siblings?
I have two brothers. Both of them one's 2 years younger than me, one's 4 years younger than me. The one that's 4 years younger than me, he and I have always been friends. I don't know if it's just sibling rivalry. The one that's 2 years younger than me, we just sort of like fought all the time. We get along now, but because we're adults, not because we really have anything in common. But my brother, who's 4 years younger than me, he called me up when the Supreme Court ruling came down 4 years ago on same-sex marriage, and he was all excited the day it happened. He called me, "Did you hear about the Supreme Court ruling?" I said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "Well, what do you?" He said, "I just wanted to tell. I'm so excited." He said, "I want to be in your wedding." And I said, "Well, Bob, I don't think we're having a wedding." He said, "Oh, well." And he sounded real disappointed. "If you do, let me know. I want to be in it." So now we're getting married, and he's going to be Robin, my partner's best man.
Oh, that's so exciting.
And he's real excited about it.
Very exciting. Yeah, being the oldest is always interesting. Dynamic there.
It is. It's weird, but it's, you know, the one who's 2 years younger than me, I don't know, he knows we're getting married. He says he wants to come to the wedding. I don't want him there, and I don't want his wife there. She's Jehovah's Witness, and a year ago she informed me, she's brought it up, and she said, "I think gay people can get married in Virginia now." And I said, "Yeah, they can." And I said, "The Supreme Court just ruled, you know, can get married." She said, "Well, I just want you to know, I'm not coming to your gay wedding." And I wanted to say, "Well, I didn't. In the first place, I'm not having a gay wedding. In the second place, nobody asked you." But I didn't say anything. I said, "Okay." And she said, and then she started telling me about what she couldn't, because Jehovah would be mad at her, and all the shit about what is, you know, that Robin and I, I'm sorry, I'm saying Robin, but Robin and I are going to hell and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay. And so that was my conversation with her. I haven't really spoken to her since then. I sort of like had it. I'm done. I'm through. I'm not, because she did that kind of thing to me all the time, and I'm just done. And but when my brother found out I was getting married, he said he and his wife wanted to come, and I'm like, "Oh no, please no." But I decided I'm going to call. I didn't tell him no on the phone. I was too chicken. But I'm going to call him and tell him. We decided to elope and just get him out of. I don't want him to be there. I really don't. I just do not want it. And if they find out later I got married, get mad. I'm sorry, I don't really. It's fine. I haven't seen my brother in over a year. And I don't care. Yeah. At this point, I just don't care. Your family, I think your family is the people who support you, who are there for you, no matter who they are. My brother just happens to be, he just happened to have the same parents I do, and that's how I feel about it. My other brother is my brother, but he supports me. He's like, hey, I'm so happy for you. He's always supported me. We've always been friends, but the other one, I don't care. So, anyway.
Well, please tell me more about the wedding, when you guys decided to get married.
I'm on disability. This is something I shouldn't be saying, but it won't matter. But for a long time, it didn't make any difference that Robin and I were together. I was, you know, that just gave me, I'm on SSI, and they gave me money for, you know, they gave me money. I had to give so much to Robin, like we were roommates or something. But I just want to get out from under them, for one thing. And we're getting older, and we don't want something to happen where there's some question about, you know, one of us dies and there's a problem with it. So so we decided to get married. We went to see a financial advisor and talked to him about what we could do. And it turned out we could get married. She can support me, like pay for my insurance and all that. It's not going to be a problem. She has a pretty good, get the other word. She has a good pension from work and everything, and it's not going to be a problem. So that's why we decided to get married at this time, and did not 4 years ago. She retires in 5 months.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. And we're really excited about getting married and, you know, all that. Because I don't really believe in marriage. I think it's a patriarchal institution, and I never really wanted to. But part of not wanting to, I think, was I couldn't anyway. Although I do think what I think about patriarchal institutions and stuff, but I want to get married now. Robin and I have always had an open relationship. We've never said, you have to be only with me. I feel like Robin's my partner. She's first. But whoever else I want to sleep with or hang around with or whatever, that has nothing to do with her. It's to do with me. And we've always been that way. When we got together, I do not want to close. I don't want a monogamous relationship. Well, that's fine. I don't either. So that's the way it always was. I feel like marriage isn't going to change that. But, you know, I want to get married for financial benefits more than anything else, especially now that I'm getting older. And I feel like either of us could die any day. And, any of us could, but we're older and we're thinking, gee, we're not really young anymore. Well, we could drop dead. And my brother's the one who's 2 years younger than me, and I've never gotten along with. He had triple bypass surgery 2 years ago, and it was all this stuff going on. And my brother, who's 4 years younger than me, when he was 44, he had two heart attacks. And that kind of made me think, wow, I'm not going to live forever. Here's my brother's, you know, having heart problems and stuff. And I really started thinking about my future. You know what I mean? Like, I started believing I was going to die. I think everybody thinks, I'm going to live forever. I mean, you know you're not, but you still don't think about your own mortality. But when you get older, you do. You suddenly think, oh, man, people are friends of mine have died, you know, all this stuff. And it's just, you start thinking about it, start thinking, well, what would happen if Robin died before me and I was, you know, I would be like, what would I have without her? Because she really supports me. And because I haven't worked for a long time. And I'm not, obviously not going to go back to work now. Who's going to hire me in the first place? And I'm just not. And anyway, I think you start thinking about it. And that's really one of the major reasons I want to get married, is that I want some security if something happens to Robin and she with me. where like her family can come in and take everything or something like that. I don't want anything like that to happen. So anyway.
Yeah, well, weddings are very exciting.
But it's cool that we're getting married. It's, it's going to be a party. I feel like I'm planning a party. I told people we're having a wedding with a marriage. We're having a party with a relatively fun party with a wedding attached to it. And I mean, we've been together 44 years since 72. I've known her since 1966. In the 10th grade, we met. And I just feel like, you know, a wedding's a little bit of an afterthought, a letdown almost. You know, we're getting married. Okay, well, you've been together all the time. But it's the legality of it, you know, and the benefits that accrue from that relationship, and you make the relationship your own anyway. So we're writing the ceremony, and we're both atheists, and that's, we had a hard time. In Virginia, when you get married, you have to have some kind of religious person do your wedding. I don't know how they do that, because it seems like that's kind of like a violation of your constitutional rights, but whatever they do. And we did find somebody to do the wedding. It was a minister, and said, I'll do a secular wedding. I got no problem. And I'm not exactly okay with that, but I have to be okay with that. I don't have a choice. But, I kind of feel like I shouldn't have to do that. I shouldn't have to find somebody who says, I'm okay with doing the secular wedding. Y'all write the ceremony. I'll do whatever you want. Because what if everybody said, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm not going to bake cakes for gay people or whatever. It just seems like if you set up this thing where you have to have a minister, that's not right. There's a lot of people. I have two friends who just got married, and one of them was an atheist. That's where I found out you had to have a minister. And I'm like, what? I didn't know that, but yeah, you do in Virginia. I even wrote to a lawyer with a secular humanist society and asked him, you know, do we really have to have a minister? Because I don't want anything to do with religion. And he said, well, yeah, you do in Virginia. And he said, Virginia's also odd because the state has rules, and then each locality or city or county, wherever you are, can have their own rules about it. So I feel like, it's worse than I thought, but anyway.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of loopholes.
Yeah, there's loopholes in the thing, and so you can find somebody to do it, but still, the fact that that's required in the first place doesn't seem like that would, like if you challenged it constitutionally, it seems like you would lose. But I don't know. I can't do it. I want to get married in March. I don't have time to go to the Supreme Court and challenge this. I'm not going to. But somebody should. If you want a project, stand up for atheists.
Yeah, well, you were saying you met your current partner back in, when you were 10 or the 10th grade?
10th grade.
So that leads me to wonder, when did you realize that your sexual orientation was different from the heteronormative?
That's a funny story. We didn't realize it. We were living together. I've known her since the 10th grade. We were friends. When we went to college, we started sleeping together. I was going to Bridgewater College. She was going to James Madison. She went to a community college for 2 years, and then her junior year, she went to James Madison, so she could be near me in Bridgewater. So we were together all the time, and in 1972, which was the end of my junior year, the beginning of my senior year in college, we moved in together. Robin quit. It was my senior year because Robin quit college. She dropped out second semester of senior year. Forgot about that. And we moved in together right before that. And then she decided to drop out. And so we were living together in Bridgewater. At the college, you were not allowed to live off campus. I think it's still that way, unless you were married, that live on campus. And I was obviously living off campus. I had a single room in a dorm but I just sort of took everything out of it, locked the door, and I used it for like when I didn't want to walk back to the apartment, I would go to the dorm room and study or whatever, but then I would leave, lock the door, and walk away. I just sort of thought I was invisible. I thought nobody pays any attention to me. Nobody knows what I'm doing. But then several things happened. I was taking a class called Minority Group Relations, and for the class, we studied different minorities. We talked about minorities. We talked about all this stuff. But then we had to write a big paper on a minority. And I thought, I think I'll do homosexuals because nobody will do that. Robin and I were living together, sleeping together, but didn't think that I don't know what we thought. I can't exactly get in my head then. Robin said we thought we made it up. I'm not sure I thought we made it up that the way she says it, but I didn't think about I'm a lesbian, I'm gay and whatever. I wasn't thinking that. I was just thinking Robin and I love each other. We were sexual. But I told some friends the other day, I said, maybe it's different for men. I don't know, men are allowed to be, or I don't know now, but then, this was in 72 when we moved in together, men were allowed to be sexual from the time they're kids. They're 12 and they can be sexual. Women are sort of thought of, especially then, they weren't sexual beings. Sex wasn't even enjoyable to women. They kind of laid there and got screwed. And so, literally and figuratively. But anyway, so that wasn't something I didn't think, oh, I'm a homosexual. I'm taking this course and I'm in this category. I didn't think it. But I went to the library, and this was before the internet or computers, went to the library, looked it up in the card catalog, went to the shelf, and all the books that I had on that list were gone, were missing. So I went to the reference library and I said, I need these books for a class. Where are they? She said, she looked at the list and she said, oh, the books are back there. And she pointed behind her and she said, you can't have them. And I said, what do you mean back there? She said, they're in a vault. They're locked in a vault. And I said, and I can't have them. I need them for a class. She said, the only way you can get those books is to get the professor who you have for that class to come over and check out the books, him or herself, and then you can take them from them, from the professor. You can't have them. I'm like, what the hell? And I went and I told my professor, and I said, I need these books. I can't get them. So he said, let's go over there. So we went to the library. He asked for the books. He had my list, handed them to him. Want these books? She got them for him, gave them to me. He gave them to me, right, checked them out, then handed them to me in front of her. She didn't say anything. I said, thank you. And I gave her a dirty look and walked out. But the books were no good. They were like books from the 40s and 30s, like homosexualities, deviant behavior. I mean, titles like that. And when I looked at them, I said, no, this isn't what I want. This isn't right. These are old stuff. I didn't know what new stuff was, but I didn't think it was that. So I found out somehow that the University of Virginia in Charlottesville, not far from Bridgewater, had a gay student union. But Rob and I didn't have a car. So I went to Professor Barnett and I said, I don't know how I'm going to do this paper. I don't have any books. I want to go, the UVA has a gay student union. I'd like to go there and talk to people. We don't have a way to get there. And I was just telling him to say, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I may have to change my topic. He said, oh, I'll take you and Robin to the gay student union over in Charlotte. So I'll take you. So we went with, so Professor Barnett, my really nice professor, drove us to the meetings. And we got to know people there and stuff. I remember people said, who's that man over, that old man over there? And I said, that's my professor. And people went, oh man, your professor came to the meeting with you? And I said, yeah, he drove us here. And he's like, wow, our professors would never do that. But remember, this was like 72, and it just wasn't, it was like underground almost. Stonewall happened in 69, so it wasn't far from there. But Anyway, so I started asking people, I need to do this paper, and people would tell me, write to so-and-so in Washington, D.C., right? And I'd write to them, and they would send me, they'd send me all these papers. There were a lot of, since the women's movement, the lesbian feminist movement, the gay movement, the LGBT movement, gay rights movement back then, was just starting to pick up, and there were lots of small presses like this one, small magazines, newspapers, all kinds of stuff that people had all over the country, independent bookstores, I mean, lots of stuff out there, not on the shelves of the library. And I started writing to people. One person in Oregon would say, well, write to this person, and they'd send me information. I'd write to them, they would send me information, say, write to this person also. I was writing to people in groups all over the country, some of them pretty big, who were pretty big names in the movement, in all these different movements that I didn't know. I was getting letters from them and stuff. These were people who, like, all kinds of people. And anyway, so I had all, one day Robin and I had all the papers spread out on the floor in our apartment. We're looking at stuff, and I was getting ready to make an outline for the paper and stuff like that, take notes. And we were looking at it, and Robin said, you know, I think this is talking about us. And I said, yeah, you know, I was thinking that too. I think so too. And that's how we realized we were lesbians. That was like the moment where we went, oh, wow, it's like an epiphany. We went, oh, it's us. And that sounds stupid to people today, but back then you could be, I wasn't the only person. I've read this coming out stories. I wasn't the only person. Now, these are all women, but still, I wasn't the only person who was like, wow, this is me. It wasn't talked about. You didn't know anything. I mean, I remember growing up, my mother had a cousin who was apparently gay, because my mother used to say, well, Peter is coming with his friend. And the way she said, I remember being in high school, my mother would say, people would talk at the table. This was at my grandmother's house. Everybody was Italian, yak and all at once. So people would say, Peter and his friend. And the way they said friend, I started, Peter and his friend. And I knew his friend was a man. And I'm thinking, why are they saying friend like that? But nobody said the word. Gay, homosexual, lesbian. Nobody talked about it back then. It's like it didn't exist. Even if people knew it existed, they didn't acknowledge it. So you could be that as dumb as we were. It was perfectly possible. But anyway, so I wrote this paper. And in the first paragraph I came out, I said I was going to write this academic paper, da 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 da, and then I realized it was talking about me, and I just wrote the paper. I came out in the first paragraph, and I ended up sending it to my parents. That's how I came out to my parents. I sent them a paper that I wrote for sociology. I think it was sociology for some class I took in college. I sent it to them, and I was really scared. I didn't know what they were going to say, what was going to, and I was like real nervous. But then I got the paper back with a letter from my father saying, you know, I love my children, I love them no matter what, I just, you know, want you to be happy. And my father always said that nobody should tell anybody else, the government, not him, not anybody. If you're not hurting anybody or not hurting yourself, who cares what you do? It's nobody's business. And so that was his thing. That was a big thing. Since I was little, I remember my father saying stuff like that. But so that was how we were raised. Not by my mother, who thought she should get in all our business. But my father was very hands-off, you know. Whatever you do, not my business. So he wrote me this letter, you know, I love you, I don't care, and stuff. And I was really, and he told me, if you have anything else for me to read, send me, I'll read it. I sent him some books. I sent him Lesbian Woman by Dale Martin and Phyllis Lyon, which was a book back then. No, I don't think anybody reads it anymore, but it was an old book on lesbianism, lesbian women, on like lesbian feminism. I sent it to him. He read it and sent it back and wrote a note about it. So that's how I came out to my parents. And that's how Robin and I discovered we were gay. I'm sorry that was a long story for that, but it kind of needed all those prefaces to it, or I don't think people today really would understand what was going on in the 70s, because it's different today. I think you pretty much hear about, you know, gay rights and feminism and stuff, and you didn't hear that back then.
No, that was a spectacular story. Would you mind telling us how your mother reacted?
My mother was, she didn't say anything to me. She told my brothers, that they told me this later. Mom told them that she was upset that I was gay. It was her fault because she, quote unquote, should have made me wear dresses when I was little. That's exactly what she said. And I laughed. But later on, I had a relationship with somebody, not Robin, somebody else, and I was working in a library in Lynchburg on a CETA, in the CETA program. CETA was CETA, Comprehensive Education and Training Act. I think that was the name of it. Comprehensive, I think it was education, but it was something, an Employment and Training Act, I think. But it was a program under, I don't remember who was president, but they made, there were a lot of people out of work, like now. But the government back then set up programs like CETA, and there were other programs that put people to work. And what CETA did is they took people who were underemployed or unemployed, got them into positions, and the government paid part of the salary in the business or whatever it was, paid the other part. So it like was a win-win for everybody. They would never do that now. But they used to take care of people, more or less, some people, back then. And I got a CETA grant because I was an English major in college and got out and found out that you can't do much with English unless you want to teach, and I don't want to teach. So I was kind of hanging out doing, like, I worked for an electrician, I worked here, I just did different odd jobs, and I stumbled on this CETA job, and I got a job as an aide in the public library in the children's department, which is what made me want to go into library science, because I loved it. But I was with this woman also. Anyway, I was with this other woman at the time, and we broke up, and I was really upset. And I decided to move into my parents' basement and pay them very little money. They said I could move in their basement for $50 a month and live there. And I saved my CETA money, and I decided, like, the day we broke up, I called my mother, "Mom, can I come home and live in the basement?" I said, I want to go to graduate school and go into library science, and I want to save my money, so can I come home and live in the basement? I'll pay you some rent. And she said I could, and I moved out and moved in her basement and paid them $50 a month and lived there and saved money for graduate school. But anyway, my mother and I were one of those evenings sitting at the kitchen table talking. And my mother started crying. We were just talking. We weren't talking about, I don't even know what we were talking about, nothing in particular. Just like, "Oh, it's a nice day," stuff like that. And my mother suddenly burst out crying. And I said, "Mom, what's wrong?" And she said, "Oh, I'm upset. And I said, "I'm a what?" She said, you know. And I said, "What, Mom? You know." And I said, "You mean a lesbian?" "Don't say that word." And I said, "Mom, there's nothing wrong with that word. Don't say that word." She kept saying, I kept saying it. And it was upsetting her. I said, "Mom, you can say it. Try it. Say lesbian." "No, don't say that." And so I finally shut up about that. And she said, "Well, you're unhappy because you're a, the word she wouldn't say. And I said, "Mom, I'm unhappy because I just broke up with my girlfriend. Anybody would be. I'm not unhappy because I'm a lesbian. I'm unhappy because I broke up with my girlfriend. I will be happy again. Don't worry. I'll get over it. I'll be okay." I said, but you don't, you know, she said, "Well, I know you're unhappy." She's sniffing and crying and saying, "I would be unhappy if I were you." And like, oh, I said, "Mom, you're not me, and I'm not you." And I thought, I can't believe we're having this stupid conversation about who is what. Because I said to her, "Mom, if I were you, I would be unhappy too, because I wouldn't want to live your life. But I'm not you, and you're not me. And can I explain this existential thing to you, Mom, that we are different people?" But I don't think she ever understood, because she was really upset about it. And it was the only time I ever talked to my mother about, you know, being lesbian. I never said that to her before, and only because she started crying and just said, you're a, and wouldn't say the word. And I feel bad that my mother thought I was unhappy and miserable, and I think both my parents felt that I was going to have a hard life, which I did, because I was gay, which was true. It was hard to be gay then. It's hard to be gay now, but it was even harder then. And they were right about that, but it didn't mean that I was unhappy or anything else. It just, that was the way it was. That was my life. It was, you know, but my parents loved Robin. That was the saving grace. Both of them loved Robin. My mother came up to me one time. We were living in Memphis, and my parents were visiting. My mother came up. She grabbed my arm. She whispered in my ear, "You're lucky to have somebody like Robin to put up with you." And I said, "God, Mom." She also told me that she knew that I made Robin a lesbian, because Robin wasn't really a lesbian. She said, "Robin's not really a lesbian." "I know she isn't. You made her a lesbian." I went, "Mom," and she said, "You also made your brother," this is my brother, he's 4 years younger than me, "you also made your brother an atheist. You gave him those books to read." And I said, "Oh, Mom, you've given me amazing powers that I can actually control and change people. That's just amazing, Mom. You can't mean that." She's like, "Oh," she got all frustrated because I was teasing her, and she kind of walked away, you know. But I've always, y'all be careful, because I have these eyes that can just convert people into whatever I want, according to my mother. But they did love Robin. My mother called Robin, like we were at my parents' house one time, and my mother called Robin in the kitchen. She said, "Robin, come here." She said, "I want to teach you how to make my spaghetti and my meatballs and all the stuff." And she didn't teach me. She taught Robin. So she loved Robin. They really liked Robin. But Robin is just really nice. I mean, my brother that's 4 years younger said to me one time, he said, "You know, Robin is just the nicest person I've ever met. She's just really nice." He said, "She's nice to everybody. She can hate you, and she's still nice. She can still be nice to you." I never looked at it that way before, but I said, "Bob, you know, you're right. She is nice, and she's exactly that way. You're exactly right. Sometimes she's too nice, because I'm not nice. I'm not a nice girl. I'm nasty to people. I say what I think. I don't care." But Robin's like, "I'm not going to say that because I don't want to hurt their feelings." And I go, "But they're hurting your feelings. Tell them what you think." "No, I'm not going to do that." She'd just rather walk away. I'd rather fight. So we're different. But anyway, I won't put my hands on the table. But anyway, that's my mother. And that was kind of my relationship. My mother and I was the only girl, and my mother and I were always very close. I don't think that stopped us from being close, but it did. I don't think my mother understood that part at all, part of me. And I mostly just didn't talk about it with her. So that was kind of us. I didn't talk about it with my father either, but I knew he was okay with it. He was fine, I guess. He never said anything other than the letters he wrote me. And so I think he was all right. His attitude would have made him all right. My mother, not so much. But anyway.
You were saying your brother's wife, being a Jehovah's Witness, had issues. Mm-hmm. Did you have any other problems with Jehovah's Witnesses or other groups like that?
Well, yeah. a week ago, Robin's brother said, and Robin's sister is the same way. They're both very evangelical, religious sort of people. And but Robin's brother has always been really nice to us. We've stayed at his house. I mean, all the stuff. He's always been really nice. So we called him when we found out we could get married. We decided to get married and all that stuff. Robin said, "Let's call my brother and tell him." She has a brother and a sister. She's the middle child. Her brother's the oldest. She said, "Let's call my brother and tell him." So we called him, and he answers the phone. "Hi, Martha." He's real excited, you know. And I said, "Hi, guess what?" He said, "What?" And I said, "Guess what we did today?" And he said, "What?" I said, "We were out looking at rings. We're going to get married." And he had this nervous kind of a laugh. And Robin said, No, I said, we were out looking at rings, and Robin said, we're going to get married, and he had that nervous laugh. And I said, what? I said something like, what do you think, or something like that. And he said, well, if that's what you want to do, like we were going to go jump off a cliff or something. And I said, David, his name is David. I said, David, what do you mean if that's what you want to do? That's a weird thing to say to somebody who just told you. Most people say congratulations. And he said, he sort of laughed funny again. And I said, no, really, what do you mean? That's me, I push people. I said, what do you mean if that's what we want to do? And Robin poked me and said, quit, don't badger him. And I said, okay, fine. And I didn't say anything else. We got off the phone. Half an hour later, he called her and said, I just wanted to tell you that we can't come to your wedding because we're Christian. And Robin said, so? And he said, well, I believe what Jesus said about homosexuality. And Robin said, Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuality. And he said, yes, he did. And Robin said, what? And David said, well, I don't know exactly, but I know he did. And Robin's like, no, he didn't say anything. There's nothing as far as what Jesus said that's in the Bible about homosexuality. He said, no, I think there is. And Robin said, I think if you look it up, you'll find. And he finally said, well, I'll have to look into that. But it says in the Old Testament. So Robin said, well, yeah, it says a lot of stuff in the Old Testament, like you can't eat shellfish, you can't eat pork, you should stone people, disrespect their parents, you can't wear cloth with the same kind of, you know, different fabrics. It says a lot of stuff in the Old Testament. So what? And you don't do those, you don't follow any of those other things, but you're picking that one thing out and saying this is what it says, and so this is wrong. And he said, well, actually, he said, I don't follow the Old Testament. I believe what Jesus said. So then there was a whole circular argument, and it ended up, Jesus got off the phone. But she did say to him, you know, I wish you just said you couldn't come. You didn't have to be hurtful about it. And she said, I just wish you felt like you had to be hurtful to me. You could have just said, we can't come. You don't have to give me a reason. And I don't know what he said that got off the phone. But so, yeah, her brothers and her sister, when DOMA happened, the Defense of Marriage Act, and like all, not just in Virginia, but all over, her sister told me that she didn't think gay people should be able to get married because it was okay if they had civil unions, but they shouldn't have weddings. Shouldn't have, not weddings, but marriage. That was only for straight people. And I said, so you mean like separate but equal? And she said, no. And I said, well, that's what you're saying. And she said, no, no, no. I just don't think our church should have to marry gay people. I said, look, your church doesn't have to marry anybody. It doesn't want to. Anybody. If two people of different races come in and want to get married and your church is against that and some are, you don't have to do that if you don't want to. This is your church. This isn't the state. And those are two separate things. And she just kept saying, well, I don't think they should. I think she kept saying that. And I just gave up. Some people you just can't talk to. They're not reasonable. And it's no point going on and on. It's like David, Robin arguing with her brother. It's, after a while, you just forget it. Or me arguing with my sister-in-law, the Jehovah's Witness, who actually told me that she and I could not talk about religion. Not talk, that was forbidden. Although she talked to me about it all the time. So, okay, fine. But I'm not, I told her I wasn't going to talk about it, and I never did. But I just said, I got off the phone and I haven't spoken. When she calls, I know who it is. I see it on my phone. I don't pick it up. That's why I haven't talked to her or really my brother in the past year and a half or so. Mm-hmm. I'm not picking it up when they call. Or I did talk to them the day they found out we were getting married. I don't know how, but they did. And I was like, okay, I did talk to my brother. But I don't want them there. I don't want them there. I don't, their attitudes, I don't want them. And my sister-in-law, who told me I was going to hell and she was not coming to my gay wedding, got on the phone when I was talking to my brother and said, I love you. I want to be there for you. You came to my wedding and want to come to yours. And I'm thinking, I said, look, that's not what you said to me. You told me a year ago, I repeated what she said. She said, but I still love you. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. You don't even know me. And I said, okay, yeah. But I am going to call them and tell them I'm going to lie to them and tell them we eloped. I don't know how to get out of this, that they want to come. And I don't know, I don't want to be nasty. I don't want you to, they're just horrible people. But I'll just lie to them and whatever happens, happens. I don't care. I don't think I should, I don't really think I should have to lie to them, but I don't know what else to do. They're my, they're kind of my family, and I don't know, families are a pain in the butt sometimes. If you had mine, you would know. Probably a pain in the butt relatives too, both of you. Everybody has those.
Certainly. Could you tell me a little bit about the college community? You were saying a lot of people don't, it wasn't spoken about.
Right.
How did that, what was your college community like?
Horrible.
Yeah.
I remember friends, quote unquote, as Donald Trump says, so-called friends. I was at a restaurant with a group of people, girls, one time that I was friends with in college, and we were talking. I was not saying anything about lesbianism or being a Robin or anything else. And all of a sudden, one of the women across the table from me just burst out crying, and she yelled in the restaurant, "Lesbianism! That's all you ever talk about is lesbianism!" And she was crying, and I just thought, God, people are going to come and beat me up in a second. They probably think I touched her breast or something. I mean, they probably think I'm molesting this woman. But she was screaming that, and I don't know where that came from. I guess I upset her more than I thought. But it wasn't happening. I wasn't talking about it at the restaurant. I was just having a normal conversation. She screamed that. And I really remember that because I just wanted to shrink under the table and die about then, because it got quiet and everybody's looking like somebody would if somebody screamed that in a restaurant. And but stuff like that happened. The dean of students, I got called into his office because I was the dorm mother, I found out this happened, had gone to the dean of women who said, leave me alone. And then she went to the dean of students, who was, of course, higher than the dean of women. And he called me into his office. I didn't know what it was about, but I went in there. He sat behind this big wooden desk in a leather chair, and he has some woman with him. I don't know who she was. But he said, he starts asking me questions like, what are you doing hanging around with this other girl on campus? What are you doing? She doesn't belong here. Why are you friends with this woman? And I never said anything. And he would see, then he started saying, I think that's pretty weird. And then he would look at this woman and say, don't you think that's pretty weird? And then he would look back at me and say, I think that's pretty weird. And they would laugh. And he was asking me questions about all kinds of stuff. I just stood there. I thought, I was really angry. I was scared. I was angry. But I said, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to stand here and just... I just tried to keep a straight face and just stand there. Finally, after this went on for a few minutes, he said, well, I'm going to call your father about this. And I said, then I spoke up. I said, okay, call my father. Go ahead. And he looked kind of startled, and he said, I'm going to call your father. I'm going to call your father. I said, call my father. Go ahead. I don't care. I was hoping he did, because I knew my father would say, mind your own fucking business and hang up the phone. Excuse my language. But, that was my father. And I kind of wanted him to call dad, call my father. Go ahead. But that was a threat to him that he would, it probably worked on a lot of people. To me, it was just, it was like, throw me in that briar patch. Do not, I call my dad, I'm fine. So he kept saying he was going to call my father, and I kept saying, go ahead, you want his number? I have his number right here. I'll give it to you and call him right now. But he just sort of started just sort of stammering and like he didn't know what to say next. And then I was really angry, and I said, are you finished? And he didn't say anything. And I said, because I'm leaving. And I turned around and I walked out and I shut the door. When I shut the door, I slammed it. And I went, oh, no, I slammed the door. I was like, oh, my God, I slammed the door. They're going to really get me now. And then I thought, but I was really angry. And that's why, but I didn't mean to slam the door. But then I was kind of like, okay, I slammed the door. That was good effect. I walked out and slammed the door. But when I got outside of the building, I was so scared. I remember my knees. I remember walking outside. And I was surprised it was light outside and it wasn't like the apocalypse going on. And my knees were shaking. I was so scared. I thought, God, they could kick me out of college. And, you know, and I'm almost finished. And I was terrified that I was going to get thrown out, and I was just about finished, and I thought, I'll have to get in another college, and they'll want to know why I got kicked out, and I'll have to go through this explanation, and I just was scared. But I don't know if he called my father. I never heard another word about it. Nothing else happened. I went back to the apartment and cried when Robin came home from work. I was crying. I was really scared. It was frightening. But nothing came, nothing happened. Whew, I dodged a bullet and I graduated. But, you know, the last day my senior year, this was my senior year when that happened with the Dean of Students. I went to get I had a few things in the dorm, and I went to get them. And I was on a short hall, it was like half a hall. And I was on the hall with all these freshmen. I had the only single room with its own bathroom even on the hall. Everything else was suites. And the girls came up to me when I was in my, I didn't even know them. I didn't know them at all because I was never there. I didn't live there. But they came up to my door where I was like getting stuff out of there. And they said, we know you haven't been here all year. And I looked up and I said, oh, yeah? And they said, the dorm mother, whatever her name was, has been looking for you. And this is where I realized I wasn't invisible. Not only had the dean happened, but apparently the dorm mother had been looking for me for a long time. And I said, she has. And he said, yeah, she went to the dean of students and the dean of women, and the dean of women told her to leave you alone. And I was kind of surprised. And they said, we know you weren't living here. And they said, but when she came looking for you, she come and knock on your door, and she come like 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night. And we go out, that she'd ask us where you were. We just told her we didn't know you were upstairs studying with a friend. We didn't know exactly where you were. And I said, well, thank you for covering for me. And they said, yeah, sure. And I didn't even know these girls. They didn't know me. But I remember thinking, wow, that's really nice that they did that, that they lied for me, that they said, she's upstairs. Why would they cover for me? Why were they covering for me? I mean, it just seemed amazing that somebody would like, I didn't know them. I didn't even know their names. And they were really nice, you know, and I kind of laughed. And when they told me that, I said, well, thank y'all, I really appreciate it. They said, yeah, we don't, you know, you don't need to get in trouble. We don't, I don't know exactly what they said, but we don't care about the dorm mother. Well, they had dorm mothers back then, not RAs. But anyway, the girls had dorm mothers. The boys had nobody, and they ran wild. We had to be in at 11 and had all these rules, and on the weekends we could actually stay up till 1. Big time. But the boys could run around all the time and always did. And but we weren't allowed to have boys in the dorms, stuff like that. I mean, it was back then. It was those days. Robin, when she was at Madison, her parents had to sign a thing to allow boys to be in her dorm if she wanted them. They refused to sign. They said, we're not signing this. We don't think you should have boys in your dorm. And Robin's like, I don't care. I don't like boys anyway. Okay, don't sign it. But I did. She did think that her parents shouldn't have to sign something for her junior year in college, that she could have boys. Give me a break, Mom. And she tried to argue with him, but she wasn't real convincing because she didn't really care. But anyway, at Bridgewater, you couldn't even sign something. You did, that was just against the rules, period. But anyway, that was that. But that was those days. I know it's different now. I went back to Bridgewater a year ago. I got a flyer in the mail. It said, it was for alumni, and it said, come celebrate. I will never come back to the school when I left. Don't ever say never. Because I got this thing in the mail last year. It was a flyer, and it said, come celebrate Pride with us in Bridgewater. And I got the flyer, and I kind of glanced at it, but I read it, but I just said, okay, it's from Bridgewater. I put it down. I'm not interested in anything from them. I don't care. But Robin looked at it, and she said, Martha, look at this. And she handed it to me. I said, yeah, I saw it. It's from Bridgewater. She said, no, look at it. And I looked, and I went, the fuck is going on over there? Pride Week at Bridgewater? What's going on? This isn't Bridgewater. But anyway, we went to Pride Week, and it was really amazing. It because one thing we did was we talked to students. They have a gay student union, they have like all these diversity, it's called the Diversity Center, and kind of all the groups are in this one building, like the Black Student Union, that's not the name of it, but Black Student Union, the Gay Student Union, the Latino, Hispanic, all those, any minorities are now in the Diversity Center. But we were over there, and we were with about six students, and we were getting a tour of campus, me and Robin. But what happened is we end up sitting in the Diversity Center and talking for 3 hours with all these students. And it really made me realize, things are really different than they were when I was there. Things have changed a lot. And they talked about bad stuff that happened on campus, and people yelled at them or wrote things and stuff like that about, you know, gay people. But it wasn't like when I was there. I mean, God, they had a Pride Week that the school was putting on. We had a reception at the president's house. And the president came up to me, and I had told my story at lunch. We had lunch with the students about what happened when I went there. And the president came up to me, and he said, Martha, hi, I'm President blah, blah, blah. And he said, I want to apologize to you for what happened when you were at Bridgewater. He said, somebody was at the administration told me what happened. And he said, I'm glad you're back. I said, yeah, and I kind of laughed. I said I was never coming back, and here I am. And he said, I really want to apologize for that. He said, that was then. It was sort of like that was then, this is now. But it really made me, when I left, I felt very like there's hope. You know, people are different as a whole. There are people like her brother and my sister-in-law, and I mean a whole bunch of people like that that obviously voted for Trump. But, you know, when I think about it, like when the immigration thing happened, now they're deporting people, but, how many lawyers, how many people went to the airport to support people? How much support was that? I mean, that was incredible to me when I saw that, and it made me think of Bridgewater, and it made me think of stuff today. I just feel like, you know, it seems like we're going backwards, but really the majority of people, we're moving forward a little teeny bit at a time, but we're going that way. It really does. It really gives me some hope in spite of what's going on now. I still feel like Anne Frank. People are really good after all. I mean, I see there are mean people in the world, there are bad people in the world, there are people that hate other people because they're gay, because of the color of their skin, because they're from a certain country, whatever, but I think those are the minority of people today. I don't think they're a majority in this country or even in the world probably today. I think most people have gone beyond that. I mean, when I grew up, I was born in 51. I remember colored and white bathrooms and water fountains and stuff like that. And that is, you know, that's been gone a long time, but I remember it. And so that was when I was small, and now we're all, you're here. You wouldn't have been here when I was small. You know what I'm saying? And I wouldn't have been here when I was small. because I'm gay, I could have hidden that. You can't hide it. Sorry, I hate to tell you, but you kind of look dark skinned. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? It really is different than even 60 years ago. And that may seem like a long time to y'all, but it doesn't really seem that long to me because I remember it. And so anyway, that's where how I feel about things. And I really started feeling that way because I went back to Bridgewater, because I saw young people who talked to me and just, I don't know, you people, I hate that, those people, you people, but it really gave me hope. I mean, it really makes me feel like, I mean, we're doing this interview. And that wouldn't have happened when I was in college. And it just makes me feel like, wow, things are getting better in spite of everything. They are getting better. And it may not seem like, but they are. Robin and I are getting married. We went down to the courthouse down here in Salem. We went in. Robin told me afterwards, she said, you know, I was really braced for something bad to go down. I said, yeah, me too. Nothing happened. Nothing. It was just like smooth. We walked in, went through the scanners, asked the sheriff. I said to the sheriff, we want to get a marriage license. Where do we go? He didn't blink an eye. He just said, go here, go here. I hate the police. And here I was talking to a cop who was like saying, go here, go here, go here. Just not, I mean, I was with another woman. Obviously, I wanted a wedding license, a marriage license for us. He was like, okay, we'll go up here and do this. And walked in the room where we were told to go, and a man said, can I help you? And we told him what we wanted. He said, go to that window down there. We filled out all the papers, everything. After the papers were, everything was done, she handed us the marriage license with a whole bunch of stuff and like was telling us what to do with it and stuff. And when she handed it to us, she said, congratulations. I almost started crying because I said to Robin when we walked out of the room, I said, I've never, never, never had anybody say congratulations to me because I love you. And because that's essentially what it was. And I said, I know she wasn't saying it to me and you personally. I know she says it to everybody. And that's just the thing. She says it to everybody, even us. She said, congratulations. I was almost crying. And that's when Robin said I was braced for something bad to go down. And I said, I was too. And it didn't happen. And it's amazing that it didn't happen. And I'm like almost crying about it now. Because what I went through then is not what I'm living through now. And it's just amazing to me. And I don't mean to sound like Pollyanna, but really, because I'm not. But I just think that is really incredible. That is my story, but yet this is my story today. And I never thought that this would happen. I never thought any of this, that Robin and I would be getting married, that people would be saying congratulations, anything would happen. The financial advisor we talked to who looked at all this stuff and said, you can get married. I went to give him, I gave him an invitation to our wedding, and he said, he opened it up and we were talking, and I've known him for years, and I hugged him and I said, thank you so much, you and your partner, his son-in-law works, and I said, y'all are really the reason we're getting married. And he said, Martha, he said, thank you. He said, but the reason you're getting, love is the reason you're getting married. And I'm like, whoa, I don't know. That almost made me cry too. Everything's about making me cry today. I mean, these days. Because it's just, I don't know, it's just different. And I'm glad. Because I have a different story. And it's not about love, except for me and Rob. I mean, it's about people hating us. But it's not. Those people, they never mattered. And I mean, I was always out. I was always open. I never hid, except from Social Security. But I never hid my gayness to anybody. But I just, it was a struggle even then. I mean, I lost friends. A lot of people just get out of my life. And I'm kind of like, well, I don't need those people in my life. If they don't like me because of this, they can get out of my life. And I think I got that from my father, who's like, it's nobody else's business. And that was kind of my opinion too. And if they wanted to make it their business, that I don't need them. And but anyway, so I've been that way my whole life. But still, it still hurts. Even though you're saying, I don't care what you think. I don't need to deal with you. I know what I think. It still hurts when people say bad, you know, nasty things to you and yell. Let me know. That's all in a restaurant or any of that stuff, like the dean. I was scared. And people can hurt you. You can stand up for yourself, but you know that you can be hurt by these people. And even, what you know, like thrown out of school or put in jail back when I was younger for what I was doing. It never happened. None of those things happened. But it could, and it was scary because I knew it. And now I'm kind of like, yay, we get married, and it's all going to be up and open, and, you know, friends are coming, it's going to be a big party, it'll be fun, and I'm looking forward to it, because it'll be a party. I want a party. I like to party. And I thought it would be fun to have a big party and have the wedding attached to it. The wedding's sort of almost an afterthought, because I really want to celebrate, you know, what we've had, what we are, how we feel about each other, and I want to do that, and I want to do it with people who support me. That's why I don't care. I don't want my brother or sister-in-law there. I want people to come who support me. When Robin told her mother said, told her mother we were getting married, her mother said, well, it's about time. But her mother's always been supportive, and always. Robin told her mother, she told her when she dropped out of school, she said, this is how she explained it to her parents. She said, if Martha were a man, I would want to marry her. And her mother was cooking at the stove and said, oh, her father was behind her. He was deaf. And he said, what did she say? And her mother said, she said, if Martha was a man, she'd want to marry her. Her father said, oh. That was the whole conversation. And it's just kind of funny to me that they react. They're just kind of like, oh. But I think maybe they reacted like that because they never thought about it. It wasn't even, like I said, it wasn't even in your vocabulary, in your line of sight, that there were people that, you know, like lesbians and gay men and stuff. That wasn't even, you didn't even think about that back then. These people didn't exist. And so I think when she said that to her parents and she just kind of got, oh, I think they really didn't follow the whole thread of the thing. It was just like what she said, oh, okay. But I think that was easy to do then for some people. To the dean of students, not so much. But anyway, so that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Well, it was an absolute privilege to be able to be here and listen to your stories. We really appreciate you and your contribution.
I didn't mean to go on so long, but no, I really had all that to say. I mean, I have to explain all that stuff to get to where I am. Let me show y'all something. Let me show you something. Because this is off the. This is not. This is. Look at that. Look at that. That's our wedding announcement. That's my copy. Robin made me a copy. Those are directions.
Aw. That is so cute with the hearts.
I found that online, but we didn't draw it.
Oh, that is wonderful. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I love the wedding announcements. I really like what we did. Robin had made them up. She said, we're going to do this and this, and I didn't understand what she was telling me. And she made up this mock thing, but it wasn't this. It was very, looked like a regular somebody's, so-and-so would like the, what do you say, the pleasure of your company, and their, you know, all the shit. And I read it, and I said, Robin, I don't like this. It's too formal. It's stiff. It's not us. And she said, well, rewrite it. I said, okay, so I rewrote it. But she designed it. I can't think, well, we should do this and put a heart and do this. That's her work. I was the words. But I like what I wrote. Kind of happy with it.
Yeah, it's definitely fantastic.
So we're real excited. So, yeah. I had to show you. I had to bring it to you in the book. Nick said to bring the book. I said, well, okay, but I don't know why, but I did. didn't even talk about that except at the beginning.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Oh, okay. I thought we were.